Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit.
The world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the 7th chapter. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 31 responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness save me.
Lord, God, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." For you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know the Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what kind of stone are you? What kind of rock? There are all kinds of different stones. Pretty smooth stones, complex, jagged stones, stones of all sorts. I hadn't realized it, but I apparently have been a collector of stones when I began to think of stones. I've gathered them up over a good deal of my life. Here's one of the first. A very simple stone. I picked it up probably in the mid-60s on the beach, on Torrey Pines Beach during a lunchtime walk. And I've kept it ever since. It's spent many years on the corner of my desk with many other artifacts. A simple stone. Yet it's always been special to me. When I think of the story of David and Goliath, this is the kind of stone that I think of. David picked up 5 smooth stones before his battle with Goliath, probably something of that size. I'm sure I've walked on that beach many times since and have probably picked up other stones, but this is the one I've kept. And as I say, I have many. Here are 2 others. And interestingly, I haven't the faintest idea where these came from. A pretty green one, a very metallic-looking one. It's quite heavy. I think it's galena, lead sulfide. And again, those spent some time on my desk. And then there's one other stone, the stone that goes back farther in my life than any other that I know of. A piece of rosy quartz and has some mica in it. Interesting stone, very different from the others, which were smooth. This one's rather jagged. Jagged because of the nature of the material. I remember this stone. I got it when I was probably 8 or 9 years old on a trip with my parents, I'm pretty sure to Colorado. And I found this stone and liked it and picked it up. And I remember that event very well because when we got home and my father found that I had this stone, he was aghast. I suspect we were probably in a national park when I picked it up. And obviously you're not supposed to carry off parts of national parks. But I did. And perhaps as a consequence, that's why I kept this stone all these years. Many different kinds of stones. But not all stones remain as they were, as nature created them. There are many other stones that human hands have modified, have changed, perhaps have made a weapon, an arrowhead, made a tool to do some task with that stone. Perhaps have been stones that have been cut into blocks out of a quarry to build perhaps a glorious cathedral or maybe a simple country church. Stones that have been cut to be paving stones. Stones that perhaps have been cut to build fences. Or possibly even a sheepfold. Many different kinds of stones. And others have been modified by humans for much more trivial reasons. I don't collect large granite blocks, fortunately. But I have collected a few other stones that have been modified. And here's one of my favorites, given to me by a friend probably about 20 years ago. Again, a little bit bigger than some of the others, but still a stone. And this one has resided on my desk at work for a long, long time as well. This one, though, has been modified. It has written on it, "Please turn me over." That's the side that would be up when I'm your desk. And if you obey the sign, you're rewarded with a smiling little face and two wiggly eyes, and the words, "Thank you." I probably received this during the era of the pet rock, but this is a very special pet rock, a much politer pet rock than any I've ever seen. A pet rock that can really make you smile, and it has made me smile from time to time. So, what kind of stone are you? I, of course, came to ponder this question because rocks and stones, as you heard, were mentioned in our lessons very prominently, multiple times this morning. They played a variety of roles, some for good and some for bad, just as our lives can often do. And sometimes I'm afraid that we're as unaware of what's happening in our lives, for good or bad, as all of the stones are. Life seems to go on and we're not paying attention. Some stones or rocks can be used for evil purposes, as we saw in the reading in the book of Acts about the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was a man of God, a man of good standing, full of spirit, the spirit and wisdom, Scripture tells us. He was picked by the 12 apostles to be one of the first 7 deacons, men chosen to care for the distribution of food to the widows, to be sure that all of the widows, no matter where they came from, whether Hebrew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, were treated equally. And the apostles did this so they could go about what they considered their primary mission, to preach the gospel. And Stephen was the first of those of that 7 chosen. And I'm sure Stephen did the task he was assigned carefully and well, but he was soon doing much more. He soon, too, was proclaiming the gospel. Scripture tells us he was full of grace and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. All that he did began to anger some of the Jews. They weren't comfortable with his proclamation of the gospel. They didn't believe who Jesus the Christ was. They had not accepted him. They tried to argue with Stephen, but Stephen's arguments were much too powerful for them. They didn't win those arguments, so they began to tell lies about him. Lies that he was preaching against Moses and the prophets. Lies to attempt to condemn him. And they took him before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, to tell these lies. Stephen, in his defense, began to tell the fifth history of the people of Israel, from Abraham and God's covenant with him, through Moses, the prophet, and to Jesus Christ. And in condemnation of those who were lying of him, were condemning him, he pointed out to them that their ancestors had failed to believe the word of the Lord as given through Moses and the prophets. just as they were failing to believe it then. And at this point, he saw a vision. He proclaimed the vision of seeing Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. He saw a vision which claimed that Jesus Christ was equal with God. And at this point, they were so angry that they drug him out of the Sanhedrin, out of town, took him out and stoned him to death. Stephen died by stoning because the people believed that he was blaspheming. Well, you and I have never participated in a stoning, I'm sure. It's not done in our day and age, at least in our part of the world. But how many of us, in disagreeing with someone's belief, have spoken against that person, especially against a sister or a brother in the Lord, because their understanding of the meaning of Scripture was different than ours? How often have we questioned someone's faith because we see the Word of God in somewhat different ways than they? How often have we concluded that we must judge someone's actions or beliefs negatively? How often, instead of praying for someone, have we condemned them? What kind of stone are you? There are quite a few other cases of stonings or attempted stonings in Scripture. The Jews wanted to stone Jesus when he said that he and the Father were one. The accusers of the woman caught in the act of adultery wanted to stone her to death. And even the Apostle Paul, the young man Saul, who stood at the stoning of Stephen with the coats of those who were doing as his feet and who agreed with that stoning, tells us that much later in life, he too was stoned for proclaiming the gospel. But this is not the only way we picture stones as expressions, as weapons of hatred. In our epistle, Peter speaks of Christ as the living stone, precious in God's sight, a living stone that can never perish. I showed you some small stones that I picked up on the beach 40 years ago, and a quartz stone that I secreted from a Colorado park 65 years ago. Both significantly long times in the life of a human being, but really very short times in the existence of a stone. Those stones had been around long, long before I ever encountered them, and they'll surely be somewhere on this earth long after I'm gone. They go on and on. And this is only one of the pictures of Christ being conveyed to us by the living stone metaphor. Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I recall being on Mount Zion in Israel, seeing the remains of a stone-paved road leading down to Jerusalem, said to have been there since before the time of Christ. It would be a road very difficult to traverse today. More of the paving stones were gone than were left. It very likely would have been a stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall, that the prophet Isaiah spoke of, and Peter quoted in the letter we heard read today. They didn't make me stumble. They had a different effect on me, because I didn't try to walk on them. But seeing them gave me a vision, if you will. Some of those may well have been in that same position when Jesus walked on the earth. Perhaps he walked up and down that very road from Jerusalem to Mount Zion. These were stones that told a story, at least created a story in my mind. They were stones that witnessed to me of Jesus, the living stone. And not only is a stone a picture of permanence, but also a picture of strength, of might. My little stones were easy to pick up, to carry off. But the stones that are the Grand Tetons, the Rockies, or any of the other magnificent mountain ranges of the world will be there in some form as long as the earth endures, testifying to God's power and God's majesty. Peter admonishes us to emulate Christ, to be like the living stone, to be built into a spiritual house, to serve God, to make sacrifices for him through Christ. We are to be shaped not by hammers and chisels, but by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living in our lives. To be suitable, to be built into a house of God, the place where he dwells. All of God's people are to be his church, to carry out the task he calls us to do, to be living stones, each with his own job to do in forming that spiritual house, the house of God. Each stone being supported and held in place by all the others, and at the same time supporting all those around and above us. None of us can be the house by ourselves. We need each other. We need one another for the house to be complete. And this spiritual house is made up of many more than those of us living in these times. All of God's children throughout the centuries have been and are stones in that structure as well. What we are today is built on what they were in past times. Their love and service to God serves us today. They are all the foundation stones on which our faith, our service to the Lord rests. We are part of that spiritual house, built on Jesus. Jesus, who is the cornerstone, the one who sets the direction of the house, its orientation. Without him, we'd be scattered and directionless. All that we would try to do would be futile. The builders have rejected him, but we, the new builders, who have accepted him, who have embraced him, who loved him, continue to build that house. And we, in doing that, have found peace and salvation. Through Christ, we have seen the Father. Through him, we have life, now and forever, in the heavenly home he has prepared for us. May we all be stones pleasing in his sight. Amen.